Thanks, Sibley. And it's amazing to be here. I got the tour of the Poetry Center today, which is incredible. An oasis in the desert. So it's wonderful to be here, and thanks, Gail, for everything she does here, too. I have a little bit of a cough, so I'll try and turn away. So I was invited here to speak about my experiences working in book publishing. Thinking about what I could say, I realized I've never really examined the 11 years of editorial work I've been engaged with at New Directions. It's also a personal time of transition for me, as in this new year, I've taken on an editor-at-large role at the press and am now also helping New York Review of Books with their list. Essentially, I fell into publishing by accident. After graduate school in the writing program at NYU, I was about to start working at a drug rehab center in Brooklyn that paid for room and board when a friend said I should interview at the nonprofit publisher, The New Press. After a few months there in the marketing department, the same friend said that there was a job opening at New Directions and I should go visit the press. On the day of my visit, for some reason, I didn't realize it was an official interview until four higher-ups seated me in the center of a little half-circle and began to pepper me with questions. After praising all the ND books I had loved during my college years, the editor-in-chief described the clerk position they were hiring for as, quote, the first stop on the whipping post. More questions followed, and I said something to the effect that perhaps the job wasn't suited for me, as I had never worked in an office before. At that point, I'd only been at the New Press for about 2 months. Then the unforgettable moment happened. The president at the time, Griselda Ohanessian, who actually just passed away this year, she had been working at New Directions since the 1950s, picked up a box from a nearby table and raised it toward me saying, "Here, have a chocolate." And that's a true story. Apparently I'd gotten the job. So that's how things started for me in publishing. Before that, I had hardly even paid attention to who published which books I was reading. Though you quickly learn that the more you pay attention to this, the more transparent the world of publishing becomes. My work experiences up until that time ranged from being a composition tutor, an usher at a small concert hall, an English teacher in China, working in a research lab in an aquarium. Publishing had never even surfaced in my mind as an option. Everything about the job I learned as I went along, which today for most jobs seems a luxury. One thing I want to note from the start is that my work experiences only relate to a particular kind of book publishing, that is the publishing of literary books, literature of the past and the present, of authors in the US and from around the world. These kinds of books are, in marketing terms, called, quote, trade books, which are defined as books designed for the general consumer that you find in bookstores, public libraries, and wholesalers. But this descriptive becomes stranger and stranger to me as a large percentage of general consumers don't buy these kinds of books. Plus, new books of literature, particularly those in translation, are often hard to find in bookstores and public libraries. Except for this one. Reflecting on today's business of books, I think of that bygone era of book publishing when books were set in type, and those who worked the ink blocks were called bears, and the typesetter, the compositors, were called monkeys, and a ream of paper was worth 15 francs until words were printed on it, and the ream's worth changed to either 5 or 300 francs. Here's one of my favorite passages from Balzac's La Comédie Humaine, in his novel Lost Illusions, translated by Herbert Hunt. The thing we give our lives for, the subject we rack our brains over and wrestle with for nights on end, the race we run across the fields of thought, the monument we build with our heart's blood, editors regard all that as a good or a bad piece of business. Your manuscript will sell or it won't. That's their whole problem. For them, a book is merely a capital risk. The finer it is, the less chance it has of selling. Every exceptional man rises above the masses, and therefore his success is in direct ratio to the time needed for his work to prove his value. No publisher is willing to wait for that. Today's book must be sold out tomorrow. Following that policy, publishers refuse substantial books which can only gradually obtain the serious approval they need. And that was Paris in the 1820s. So. James Lachlan found a new directions in 1936. He once amusingly said that it took 20 years for a good book to find an audience. In other words, to return to Balzac, he published books which can only gradually obtain the serious approval they need. To a friend, Lachlan once wrote, "I often feel I'm working in a vacuum or in a country where few readers hear the sounds." And yet he persisted until his death in 1997. He had dropped out of Harvard at age 19, went to Paris to work for Gertrude Stein, attended Pound's Ezuversity for a time, then returned to Harvard, and while still an undergraduate student, he launched the press with an anthology of writing called New Directions in Poetry and Prose, subtitled Indirect Criticism, Surrealism, Dream Writing, which included work by Pound, William Cullis Williams, Wallace Stevens, Laureen Niedecker, Henry Miller, Elizabeth Bishop, Gertrude Stein, among others. A lot of the history of New Directions is well documented, and I don't have time to go into detail here. But for those interested, I recommend reading Hayden Crewe's little biography of Lachlan called Beside the Shadblow Tree, the essay on Lachlan and Elliot Weinberger's Oranges and Peanuts for Sale. And some of these books we're going to pass around, and you could kind of just look at them and pass them on. The Way It Wasn't, an illustrated, eclectic, alphabetical compilation of letters and ephemera culled from Lachlan's files, co-edited by Daniel Javitch and the current president of ND, Barbara Epler. And Lachlan's own lyrical, episodic memoir, Byways. And I'm also circulating some catalogs you could see, too. There will also be a biography of Lachlan published by FS&G in the next year or two, written by Ian McNiven, and other historical information you could find on our new website, ndbooks.com. And you can find a lot of materials online and in person at Harvard's Houghton Library that archives the ND papers, and also the Beinecke at Yale that has the ND library. But it's still incredible for me to peruse the list of authors Lachlan published over the years. Pound, Williams, Delmore Schwartz, Kenneth Patchen, Kay Boyle, Dylan Thomas, Rambeau, Kafka, Lorca. As Weinberger notes in his essay, New Directions was an early and usually the first American publisher of Neruda, Sartre, Brecht, Camus, Céline, Mishima, Montali, Sandrars, Borges, Apollinaire, Paz, Rilke, Pasternak, Michaud, Svivo, Isherwood, Ungaretti, John Hawkes, Paul Bowles, Nabokov, Carson McCullers, Paul Valéry, and on. He also brought back into print The Great Gatsby, Light in August. It's kind of amazing to bring back in print. E.M. Forster, Conrad, Henry James, Nathaniel West, Juno Barnes, D.H. Lawrence, Stendhal, and Flaubert. And then there was Lachlan's continuing commitment to the American poetry avant-garde. H.D., Kenneth Rexroth, George Oppen, Ferlinghetti, Murilo Rukeyser, Robert Creeley, Denise Levertov, Robert Duncan, among many others. Lachlan also continued to publish the annual anthology of poetry and prose until the early 90s, as well as several anthologies of classical and modern poetry from around the world. Quite a humbling publishing vision to carry on. Without a small but devoted population of readers whose reading habits are equally perverse, ND would have closed shop years ago. And what I mean by that is I think we often forget that literature isn't meant to be comforting and reassuring the way a technologically perfected mattress molds to the body and so leads to easy sleep. Poetry, literature can be dangerous for the mind and spirit, dangerous for our emotions, for our perceptions. It can bring us to an unexpected place of thinking and feeling, a place of uneasiness or pain or truth or ecstasy. It wakes us up or even causes madness. Why else does the priest burn Don Quixote's books? Or right now, isn't the school district banning The Tempest, you know, or Fire Next Time? In the first 5 years, Lachlan published around 40 titles, selling them to bookstores out of his station wagon. Currently, we bring out about 30 to 35 books annually, mostly fiction and poetry, some letters, essays, memoirs, and plays, and many books in translation. Our business year is divided into two seasons, fall, winter, and spring, summer, which you'll see the two catalogs. And we have over 1,000 books in print. In the office, there are about 9 full-time employees, and in the past few years, we've hired interns who have become totally essential. We also use a few outside book designers and had an ongoing relationship with W.W. Norton, who warehouses and distributes our books, as well as the titles of about 11 other presses, like Thames and Hudson, Dalkey Archive, and Fantagraphics. That's kind of like the general structure of what goes on.